Hello and welcome to the Personnel Today Friday podcast. I'm Tara Craig and I'm joined by Kat Baker and John Charlton. Coming up, we look at the latest apprenticeship figures and reflect on why the number of under 25-year-olds taking up apprenticeships has fallen. We hear about a 2P-related ruling over what happens to employees when insolvent businesses are rescued. But first, the news. The BBC is to cut its £79 million senior management wages bill by a quarter, axing 18% of senior management positions and indefinitely suspending executive directors' bonuses. A Labour MP says that HR teams should be legally compelled to write to all job applicants stating the outcome of their application. Ashok Kumar says that failure to even acknowledge applications is extremely demoralising for candidates. West Midlands police officers have branded HR advice patronising, saying that suggestions for avoiding slippery leaves, icy roads and bright sunshine were more suited to children. You can read these and other news stories in full on personaltoday.com. Kat, we heard this week that fewer under 25s are applying for apprenticeships, yet they're the age group worst hit by the recession. What's behind this?
Yes, provisional government figures out this week found that for the academic year 2008-2009, the number of 16 to 18-year-olds starting apprenticeships dropped by 9.6% to 96,700, while the number of 19 to 24-year-olds starting apprenticeships also dropped by 8.6% to 82,300. Now, Linda Miller, the senior research fellow at the Institute for Employment Studies, told me that this drop could largely be attributed to falling employer demand during the recession. She told me, "There's a continuing problem with engaging employers with apprenticeships, and in a recession, the hurdle becomes larger. It's not the apprenticeship programme that's the issue, it's getting employed as an apprentice in the first place."
Kat, what about completion rates for apprenticeships?
Completion rates for 16 to 18-year-olds have also dropped by about 8.3%. So there were, in 2008-2009, there were 57,800 16 to 18-year-olds completing apprenticeships. But for over 19 apprentices, the figures actually increased.
So basically it's all down to the economy?
From the people I spoke to, that was the main concern, yes, that the recession had affected apprenticeship start rates because employers were less able to take on new apprentices. But Linda Miller did also say that the government's decision to cut funding for the 19-plus apprentices could be putting employers off hiring from this age group. For example, the government now offers 100% funding for 16 to 18-year-old apprenticeships, but if an employer is looking to take on someone who's over 19, they can only get up to 50% funding.
You know, is the situation likely to improve when the recession ends?
Well, I spoke to Tom Richmond, who's the CIPD's skills advisor, and he told me that any recovery is likely to be jobs light because employers have made great attempts during the recession to try and retain their staff. So apprenticeship starts might not necessarily increase in the immediate future.
OK, so people are working to keep their existing staff rather than take on new staff. That's
yes.
The message. Thank you, Kat. John, you're going to tell us about developments in the Oakland v. Wellswood case.
This is the Byzantine world of TUPE, transfer of undertakings for the protection of employment, and is a case which came to tribunal in 2006. It concerns Mr. Oakland, who was general manager of a company called Wellswood Limited. This was a Yorkshire fruit and vegetable wholesaler. Now, this company ran into difficulties, serious financial difficulties, and one of its major customers, Gilbert Thompson Leeds, set up a new company, confusingly called Wellswood brackets Yorkshire, which acquired Wellswood once it went into administration. So Wellswood, the original Wellswood, which in the tribunal was referred to as Wellswood Old Co., meaning old company, was acquired by Wellswood Yorkshire in 2006. Now, Mr. Oakland and four other Wellswood Old Co. employees joined the new company, Wellswood Yorkshire. Less than a year later, Oakland was dismissed and he brought a claim for unfair dismissal. Now, this went before the Employment Tribunal, who looked at the case under the terms of TUPE 2006, bearing in mind that Wellswood Old Co. had gone into administration. Wellswood Yorkshire, the new company, contended that Oakland's employment contract had not transferred under TUPE because the original Wellswood Old Co., was the subject of bankruptcy or insolvency proceedings. Now, to cut a long and tortuous story short, Oakland appealed the Employment Tribunal decision. So it went to Employment Appeal Tribunal last year, which pretty much reached the same decision as the Employment Tribunal. Oakland appealed again, and this time it was heard by the Court of Appeal in July. Now, although the case was heard in July, the full deliberations weren't published until very, very recently. Now, Oakland, when he appealed to the Court of Appeal, did so under Section 218 of the Employment Rights Act, rather than TUPE. This says that the period of employment of an employee in a business, which is transferred from one person, one owner, to another, counts as a period of employment with the transferee, i.e. the employer taking on the old business and its employees. And the Court of Appeal ruled that the transfer does not break the continuity of the employment. So where does this leave TUPE? Well, the court obviously looked at this under the Employment Rights Act, and it held it could not give a binding ruling on whether or not administration necessarily excludes the application of TUPE, although it said it was a strongly arguable point. As we're going through an economic slump, there are a lot of businesses obviously are becoming insolvent and coming onto the market. So purchasers of those businesses are going to be less keen on buying them if they think they have to acquire their employees and continue with their T's and C's. So this has prompted a bit of a hubbub in the world of employment law. And Paul Cotton, a partner at Evershed, said that, as I mentioned, given the dramatic rise in insolvencies, it's imperative that the law is clear in its application to failing companies. Without such clarity, potential buyers of insolvent businesses, he said, and this is the important bit, must act as if they will be acquiring employees, which will depress the price they might pay, or, more significantly, he says, may deter buyers from bidding at all, to the obvious detriment of the insolvent companies, creditors and employees. Finally, law firm DLA Piper said, it would be advantageous for buyers of insolvent businesses if prepack administrations did fall within TUPE, as this would provide more flexibility over which employees to take on and on what terms. So where does this leave us? Well, no doubt Mr. Oakland will take his claim further, and we may well see a ruling on this from the Department of Business or another legal ruling, as clearly this is very much a grey area, which is a cause for concern, as we say, where insolvencies are concerned.
Thanks, John. Keep an eye on that story on personaltoday.com. Well, that's it from this week's podcast. Thanks for listening. Remember to go online to check the latest news and views from the HR community at hrspace.co.uk. That's hrspace.co.uk. Until next week, goodbye.